Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thanks for tuning in. This is Shell's 3 Cents, where ordinary people face their interests, concerns, fears, and curiosities by participating in engaging, witty, and sometimes pretty downright funny dialogue. So I'm Michelle Murray, and I'm your host. If you want to call in and join the conversation tonight, go ahead, give me a call at 516-418-5940. And again, that number is 516-418-5940. I look forward to chatting with you. So as we look at this weather report, it seems that rain is moving into Southern California this weekend. It's probably going to start tomorrow about midday, and it's expected to linger on until Sunday. So pull out your umbrellas and keep dry, LA. So if you had a chance to read the LA Times today, you probably noticed that there's a survey going around, or maybe somebody knocked on your door, or you got one in your email if you subscribe to the Times. But it's interesting to note that when asked if people feared, if either they or their family feared or had worries about going hungry because of the cost of food, 29% of people surveyed said yes, 29%. Then another 31% of Los Angelinos are also worried about losing their home. But what might be most shocking is that over 40% of LA residents are, now my textbook definition, they're homeless. Yes, 40% of this town in LA is homeless. That means, by definition, that they have no permanent resident. They're sleeping on a friend's couch, behind a dumpster, anywhere but in their own place. So Mayor Garcetti has a series of briefings next month to address this very serious issue. You know, I hope to see each and every one of you there because it impacts all of us, every single one of us, including our tourists that come into town. So stay tuned for further details. When we get dates and exact locations, I will share with you so that we can all be there. But I do believe it's going to be in the mayor's chambers. Now, also in the news today, the L.A. County Department of Child and Family Services closed Gabriel Fernandez's case just about 3 weeks before he was tortured to death. Well, this week, 4 social workers have been charged in that little guy's death. And he didn't just die. He didn't just pass away. He wasn't sick. It wasn't a nice death. He was found with a cracked skull, fractured ribs, and 2 missing teeth. This unfortunate incident, that's my lead-in for tonight's program. I want to talk about those folks that prey upon our children. Many times we hear the term predator, and we assume that people are talking about like a sex predator, that they want to, you know, accost our kids in that way. But unfortunately, most of the people taking advantage of our kids, well, they're not looking for that. That's actually the furthest thing from their mind. And there's different reasons. There's all sorts of things they're looking for. Some are looking for a dollar. Some are looking for, I don't know, some kind of glory, some kind of gratification, some kind of pat on the back. Some are looking for a resume builder. Some are even looking for a place to wield power over someone weaker. But regardless of what they are doing, what I want to know is why has it become so popularized? And why is society many, many times turning a blind eye to it? How did we become that type of society? Why are people not standing up for what is right? Why are people not putting fear into those that prey upon our children? You know, as a parent, one of the things most of us, if not all of us, are teaching our children is to be law-abiding citizens, productive citizens that trust adults. So what makes an adult breach that trust? And again, there's lots of ways they can breach it. You know, some adults just lie at will, purposely don't tell the truth. And others blatantly steal from our kids. They take what doesn't belong to them. And they have all sorts of dishonest behaviors that really, in a nutshell, they just break the rules of society. Now, I know some of you are going to get medical and textbooky on me and tell me that, well, Michelle, these misbehaviors can be signs of other significant problems, blah, 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 blah. And I agree. These are disruptive behaviors. You know, they violate social rules. But again, what I want to know is why aren't parents, why isn't society as a whole speaking up more for their kids? You know, this type of behavior from adults, it's stealing these children's motivation. It's stealing their enthusiasm. And in some cases, it just steals their drive to do better. There's no incentive to do better when an adult is stealing from you or preying upon you. You know, and there's going to be a long-term impact to our society if we don't do something about these adults that prey upon children. Now, before I go on, I just want you to remember, if you want to call in and join this conversation, give me a call at 516-418-5940. 516-418-5940. Now, I tell you what, I'm not going to even lie. This is probably one of those shows again. And those of you that follow me know I'm prone to doing that when something gets my ire up. Anyway, tonight's show is actually, it's born from a few injustices that have happened not only to my own teenager, but to even some of his friends. And some are not so egregious in and of themselves. Others are pretty horrible. But when you put them all together, I just can't help but wonder what sort of society we live in. I guess it's been a little more than a year ago. My son, who's a Boy Scout, was working on his Eagle Project. And one of the things we did to raise funds was to sell Krispy Kreme cards, the donut cards. You buy a dozen, get a dozen free for so many dozen, that kind of thing. And we sold them to different adults, different people. And I actually had someone steal some of the cards. Unfortunately, you know, I had some friends rally together, even so far as chipping in money to pay for some of these stolen items. And eventually I was able to recoup some of that money and some of the cards. They were returned. Krispy Kreme, thank you, Krispy Kreme, was willing to work with us and write some of that off. And thank you, Ava Hawthorne. You know who you are. It worked feverishly to kind of get that in check. But it was an adult stealing from a teenager, you know, and preying upon a teenager, because this individual would not have stolen from me, but this individual found a convenient time to steal from a child. And that's most alarming. You know, recently, now this one's a really odd one that I'm going to tell you now. My son's 15. We signed him up to play City League football. Now, the last team he's on, they only went up to 14. So I did kind of question the fact that this one was 15, but the coach assured me it was good. He's 15. He can play. No problem. Now, in the past, I don't remember exactly what I paid, but I want to tell you, I think my league fee was about $65 is what we paid. So when I registered my son, that's very long ago, the coach said, this coach, who's a new coach, he says, well, the fee's gone up. I'm thinking he's going to say $75, $80. He tells me it's $250. And not to seem alarmed, I said, okay, all right, no problem. We'll pay it. And those of you that know me know I keep lots of change in my cup holder and different things. So I got all the cash I had and even gave him all the quarters I had to make sure this kid could have his $250 fee paid. But when it got to be time for the first game, the day before or 2 days before, something like, must have been 2 days before, he asked my kid, hey, don't you have a friend? Could you be somebody else for the game? Can you get their birth certificate? And, of course, my kid said no, and he came and he tells me the story. And I said, well, why? Are they not letting 15-year-olds play? And, we, you know, he's a kid. We couldn't really get clarity. The coach hadn't really shared too much. The morning of the game, the coach gives him a call and says, oh, no, you know what? I just need you to stay home today. Well, the short version, 15-year-olds were too old for that league. He couldn't play. And so not only my son, but nine other 15-year-old boys kind of had their heart broken that they can't play football. Some of these kids, you know, they're okay with it, and some of them, they really wanted to play football. And as parents, you know, we felt a little bit helpless that we'd been duped like this. And, yes, complaints can be made. though I didn't recoup mine, I'm sure money can be recouped. But again, that's a predator. And that was someone that took advantage. You know, whether he wanted money, he just wanted to look like the hero letting the 15-year-olds play. I don't know. But again, that's a predator. Then, you know, we've got, again, my kid is a Boy Scout. There are many great people that are scouts. I think the idea behind the Boy Scout program, it's a phenomenal idea. It's a great idea. And I'm not going to speak on behalf of every council, but I will tell you the council in my hometown of El Paso, Texas, has quite a few predators. Not sexual predators, of course. No, nothing like that. But a lot of people that prey upon the youth to stroke their egos. You know, they're in it to get the awards. They're in it to get whatever recognitions or to check the block for their resume. And they could really care less about some of those kids and how they progress and their advancements and how they're doing. One scout leader my son had even had the audacity to articulate out loud that he hated a particular child, not my child, but that he hated a particular child. And just really rude and will tell you that, you know, what he's in it for and it's not the kids. Again, preying upon the children for his own gratification, his wife as well. Preying upon the youth for their own egos. You know, and I have questioned, why is it allowed? Why is it allowed? We grumble and we complain to ourselves, but nobody does anything with it. So we've got these people preying upon our youth. Now, most recently, what actually sparked tonight's little show here, my son is he has a group of friends, and they've started a theater, and they do charity work. They've helped, you know, helped out a veteran's food pantry. You know, my son has collected blankets for the homeless, collected, you know, and particularly homeless veterans, gone out and helped them stay warm, helped the underfed, helped the unfed, done food drives. You know, you name it, and all of these kids have probably done it. Well, back in March, they were raising some funds to support some of their efforts. And one of the things they did was to have a silent art auction. Well, we had, of all the people in the world, a veteran come in and steal from the kids. Now, let me digress and give you a little bit of background on that. There's an organization. It's actually a great organization called Team Red, White, and Blue, or Team RWB. And they actually help veterans in their transition to civilian life and to stay connected so that, you know, there's less problems overall and to, you know, to fit into civilian life. Well, Team Red, White, and Blue's mission is it's basically to enrich the lives of America's veterans, and they do this by connecting them to their community through both physical and social activity. You know, they have runs, they have walks, they work out together, they have meetups, they go out and eat, you know, all sorts of things to help veterans who often do feel displaced, to help them feel like they're, you know, they fit in, like they have somebody, they have a support system. So Team Red, White, and Blue recommended or referred, I should say, they didn't recommend, they referred a particular veteran to one of the veteran groups that and some of the veterans that I work with on various projects. And what they said, that each year we have a thing called Baton Death March, and basically it's a 26.2-mile memorial walk that memorializes the veterans, the soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines that back during World War II were a part of the original Baton Death March. It was a tough, grueling experience. Survivors come out. It's really a beautiful thing if you can come and take part in this memorial walk. So Team Red, White, and Blue reached out, and they said, hey, we have a female veteran. She really wants to come and do this walk, but she can't afford a hotel. She has no place to stay in El Paso. We're in Arizona. She wants to come over to Texas where you are. Do you have any female veterans that can help her out? So I saw the post, and I said, yeah, of course, because Team Red, White, and Blue is going to – they're going to vet people that they send. It's a great organization. Of course, sure. You know, and also to continue building that relationship that veterans groups I work with have with Team Red, White, and Blue. So anyway, this young lady comes to my home. You know, we meet. I tell her my house is your house. And I tell her, but we're having this art auction. We're having this fundraiser. But please join us, you know. We'll be downstairs. If you want to go upstairs and sleep or whatever, because the idea was she was going to sleep, get up the next morning and go out to her walk. So she did join us, and she loved the art. She also loved the idea that these kids were civic-minded and taking charge of problems in their community. And she articulated she wanted to help them. She wanted to buy some art. She wanted to get some art. So she selected 4 items at various prices, but she didn't pay for them. She didn't pay the cashier. So thinking maybe she just forgot, or since she's spending the night, she's going to pay for it in a minute. Well, in a minute never came. So I did have a chat with her, and she said, oh, yes. I tell you what, I'll go to the ATM before I go to the march, to the Bataan Death March. Okay. Well, she left. She walked out of the door, and she didn't go to the ATM. Meanwhile, these kids, these 5 teenagers, well, a couple of them are college age and the rest are teenagers. Meanwhile, their art has walked out of the door. Yeah, meanwhile, their art has walked out of the door. Nobody's paid for it. They were hoping to raise money, but now the money has just walked out the door. The art is gone. There's no money. Well, the mom, that makes me feel not only angry, but really, really sad. As a friend and a mentor to these other kids, same deal. So I know she's going for the walk. I say, well, you know what? I'll let her get through the walk. Maybe I misunderstood. Maybe she's going to come after the walk. She didn't. So the next day, I give her a call. And now she's on my Facebook because she stayed here. You know, so we exchanged information, phone numbers, and Facebooks and all that. So the next day, I give her a call, and she's like, oh, yes, I'm so sorry. Yes, I'm going to mail it right away. I'll mail it tomorrow. Okay, so based on where she lives, it's only take no more than 2 days. Well, we never received it. An entire week passed, never received a thing. So I waited a week, and then I called her again. And she assured me that she would send it. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to send it on the 1st. That's what she said. She said, I get paid on the 1st, and I'm going to send it. Okay, sure, that's fine. Well, she never sent it. And so I talked to her again about it, and she sent me a couple messages, and she says, here, I just dropped it in the mail right now. It's in the mail. Well, of course it's not. And I did let her know that she really disappointed me because she has stolen from children. You know, and yes, of course, I'm going to make it right. I'm going to pitch the money in, but it's not even about the money for me. It's about the fact that she, one, betrayed the trust of a fellow veteran, but two, she stole from children. Even though, you know, a couple of the kids are college age, they're still children to her. They're young adults. You know, they're all the high school ages, early colleges. And like I said earlier, when you do that to these kids, what do you think it does to their motivation? You know, there's an impact there. What is it doing to their enthusiasm? What does it do to their predisposition to go out and help other people? Well, I'll tell you what it does. In some instances, it makes them lose faith in the world. And as a parent, that's a horrible thing. If you think your kid or their friends might lose faith in the world based on the horrible actions or inactions of another individual. It's a frightening thing, too, that things like this go on, but so few speak up. Many people will complain. Many people will chisk, but very few people will actually stand up and do the right thing about it. So right now I see I have a caller on the line. Maybe I'd like to chime in. Area code 706, are you there?
I'm here. It's Bianca. Hey, Michelle, how are you?
Hi, Miss Bianca. How are you? Thank you for calling
in.
I'm
great. Mm-hmm. I was just going to let you know I've never, ever thought of a way, of this way, you know, because every time we hear predators, we automatically switch our brains to, oh, my God, sex. And, you know, to actually think that this is way beyond, you know, sex. I mean, it's exploration, but it's also, you know, using somebody. But if you look at the definition, you know, it's talking about how, you know, it's taking advantage of someone or harm them in any way or use them. So I think it's great to bring it up to actually see predators at in a different light. It's really got my brain going, oh, my gosh. You know, I've never thought of it that way, but this is really awesome. And it's a shame that we have to protect our kids from so many ways of, you know, the way predators work.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's I really had this weighing heavy on me the last couple of days. It's so alarming. And it seems to be pretty popular. When I sit back and think about it, it's alarming how many adults are taking advantage of teenagers and teens. And I was talking to my son about it today, and he said, well, they do it because it's easy. It's like stealing candy from a baby, you know, and
literally,
and it literally is stealing candy from a baby. And how horrible one that we have people that do that. But I also think it's a sad testament to our society that it goes on and people shake their heads, but nobody's willing to take a stand on it. Nobody's willing to do the harder right. You know, well, I shouldn't say nobody, did so few people. Particularly with this art auction thing, I definitely applaud my veteran community because they leapt into action right away. And somebody, and I'm paraphrasing here, somebody made the statement that she needs to know what she did was wrong. She needs to know it won't be tolerated, that it's unacceptable. And really, that's the bottom line with anybody that preys upon a child. They need to understand it's wrong, and they need to understand it won't be tolerated. But to all my listeners out there, I challenge you to take that stand and to challenge these people, you know, when, and it doesn't have to just be your child, but any child, when you see an adult preying upon a child in any capacity, take a stand. I really make that challenge. And I see I have another caller on the line. Area code 213, are you there? Hello, are you there? Okay, maybe they just wanted to listen in. But, yeah, ultimately, that's the bottom line. This is one of those shows that was born of let's get some things off my chest. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. You know, but overall, you know, many people are out there doing the right thing. There's lots of people that are adding value to this world. As a matter of fact, you're one of them. You know, and I admire you and I respect you because you're a go-getter and you do so many positive things. You know, we've got people running food pantries. We have people out attacking the issue of homelessness. All sorts of people doing the right thing. And with this art issue, I will tell you, I did have several members from Team Red, White, and Blue offer to go ahead and pay for it. I applaud that. I appreciate that for trying to right a wrong of this other individual. You know, and at the end of the day, maybe just an apology would be nice. If these grown-ups would just own their actions, be accountable, and say, you know what, I goofed up, and I'm sorry. I'll learn from it. And that might heal some of that. But, again, I'm curious what the long-term impact is in a society where this is so prevalent. Because it's very, very prevalent. And I do have another caller on the line. Area code 401, are you there? Well, I guess I have a lot of folks calling in that just want to listen. That's fine. But, okay, so again, ultimately, at the end of the day, when these folks do prey upon us and prey upon our children, we still have to remember the key thing that we need to do, and that's forgiveness. We can't go burn them at the stake. We can't wish all sorts of evil things to happen to them because ultimately that makes us no better than them. So we can't be bitter about these things. We can't hold grudges about these things because that anger, that resentment, that thought of revenge, that's only going to tear us to pieces. So I leave each of you. Mm-hmm. So I leave each of you with that. And again, this is Michelle Murray, and you've been listening to Shell's 3 cents.
in the town where I was raised, the clock ticks and the cattle graze. Time passed with amazing grace back where I come from. Now you can lie on a riverbank or paint your name on a water tank or miscount all the beers you drank back where I come from. Back where I come from, where I'll be when it's said and done. And I'm proud as anyone, that's where I come from. We learned in Sunday school who made the sunshine blue. I know who made the moonshine too, back where I come from. Blue eyes on a Saturday night, 10 legs in the broad daylight. TVs, they were black and white, back where I come from. Backward place, narrow minds on the narrow way, but I make it a point to say that's where I come from.
And I see we have another caller on the line. Area code 678. Are you there?
Hey, Michelle. This is Arthur Curtis Bullet III from ATL.
Oh, hey there. How are you, Arthur?
Great.
That's great to hear from you. So I don't know if you've been listening in as we talk tonight. But
yes,
we were talking about
yes.
Things that prey upon our kids.
Yes. I have something that happened with myself. I did 150 free haircuts for the third time here in Atlanta, Georgia. And the barber that owned the shop stole from not just me, but stole from the community. And I was hot about it. But I have to remember, I can't take it to the next level because who I am. I'm in the media here. I'm a local celebrity here for the veterans, and you know I have to go ahead and say, well, okay, I have to pray about it, and then we have to learn how to forgive. So we got to teach these kids how to start forgiving, because these kids, they'll pull out guns on you in a minute, and we have to teach them that. And everybody keeps saying, go to the church. No, it's us as a community. If the parents are not doing it, you know, you have to go to these mentorship programs and get somebody that you trust, that you know that they're going to lead you in the right way. You know, everybody, they look at the rappers all the time. Yeah, I have a couple of celebrity friends that rap, but they even say the same thing. You know, go to somebody who's going to go ahead and lead you in that right direction. You know, it doesn't have to be a rapper. It can be a teacher. It can be the bus driver. I mean, it could be a next door neighbor. But we have to get their mindset a little differently, you know, because now, you know, they look at the stuff on TV and they want this stuff. So their mind is like, you know, turned to jelly because they see stuff that somebody else is doing, they figure, okay, it's good to go. And us as parents or adults, yeah, we have to you know, how I say it, we have to clean our act up because the kids are looking at us. And we have to be role models whether we want to or not. When these kids come here, they're going to have to be here. We have to be role models anyway, even if you don't want to be one.
So what do you think is making these people, you know, take advantage of these kids, steal from them, lie to them?
Michelle, growing up, you know, but the thing is, like I wrote in my first book, you know, PTSD, my story, please listen. You got to close the revolving doors. You can't say, well, my dad was a drunk, my mom was this.
Right.
I got that CD. I heard it. You know, Keith Sweat, he whines about it. Okay, he made his millions on that. Now, what you going to do about it? You know, you going to keep crying about it, or you going to be like, you know what? I'm a man up, I'm a woman up, and I'm gonna do the right thing. And that's what we need to teach these kids, because things on TV, this stuff on TV is straight up garbage. You know, we need to start taking them back to the boys club, the girls club, and the YMWCA, and you know, and doing some tutoring. You know, take them out the neighborhood, take them to a place where they never went at. You know, take them horseback riding. Get them acclimated into other programs instead of, you know, they're playing the PlayStation all day. They don't want to go outside and get air. You know, when the parents back in the day, they said, hey, you're going to do this. Now the kids are like, I want to do this, and dad, I want to do this. And see, us as adults, we give these kids too many options. It's almost like we want to be friends. Nah, you're a parent. Be a parent, you know. That's what you got to be a parent, and because they're the next one that's going to be taking over when we're gone. So you know, if your kids are jacked up, guess what? When they go to the next ones to be in the world going to be jacked up. So we got to do something. You know, they got the seven mountains. You got the sports, the media. You got the music. You got theater, and. If we take the right people off those mountains and take the wrong people off the mountains and put the right people on the mountains, you'll start seeing good shows on TV. You'll start the rappers be cleaner instead of calling the females bees and hoes and dots and all that. Come on, you don't want nobody calling your kids that. So why are you gonna sing about stuff like that? And when we listen to that type of music. You know, all we're doing is, you know, we're glamorizing it. If we say, you know what, hey, look, RCA, whatever, yeah, we not buying that CD. That music, nah, that's whack. You know, you're talking about, you're degrading women. You're talking about money, cars, and this and that. Nah, we don't want that. And we got we have the voice, but we don't want to use the voice because it says, well, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Okay.
But how sad
I got
is that?
That CD
Why
too.
Would we not use our? Yeah, exactly, exactly. How sad. But I think you hit the nail on the head. We don't want to use our voice.
Yeah, we don't. And like you a veteran, I'm a veteran. You an advocate, I'm an advocate. You in El Paso, I'm here in Atlanta. And you know when you show your family, even though you have the service, you show them a better way. Some of them, you know, even with the military, they look at you sideways, like, you know, who are you? And I'm like, I'm the same person, but I'm just a little bit more educated, and you know, we're supposed to be on the same playing field, the same level. So if I'm feeding homeless veterans here in Atlanta, and paying it forward, paying light bills and stuff, you know, why get on me and get mad at me for what I'm doing? I'm like, well, we need to all be doing this. I didn't do this for me to be, you know. With the celebrities here in Atlanta, Georgia, I did because God said, hey, you're supposed to help your neighbors out. And, you know, it says, somebody come to your house to eat. I mean, somebody come to your house, you're supposed to feed whoever come to your house, whether you know them or not. But see, people take the Bible and they use it in their own distortion, you know, and it's like, it's crazy. And like I said, these kids are looking at that stuff and, you know, with the sagging of the pants, you know, when you see these kids, you have to go up to them a certain way and say, "Hey, young man, you're a king, you're a doctor, you're a lawyer, you're a judge. Hey, man, pull your pants up, man. What would your grandmother think?" Instead of saying, "Hey, man, that don't look right," you know, and yelling at them. They don't need anybody to yell at them. They probably get that stuff at home. That's why they leave the home and they do what they want to do. But when you get that right person come and say, "Look, hey, I want you to roll with me for a month. We're going to put you in the suit. We're going to put you in the shirt and tie. We're going to show you how to be a kingdom man." You know, everybody want to be a rapper. I'm like, why don't you be the person that write the lyrics? Why don't you be the person that do the sound check? The rappers only make money when they do shows. But they still got to pay this person, that person, their entourage. Be the director of a video. But everybody want that they want that shine. And us as parents, we're not you know, we feeding into the stuff that the kids is feeding into. So you gotta look at, well, you know, heck, who's the parent? You're telling your son not to steal nothing, but you're stealing from the community. You're stealing from the community because you're not showing your son or daughter how to be a man or woman. And yeah, they're causing crimes, doing this and that. And then you get mad when they get locked up for life. So, you know, you got to look at, you know, man, who's really jacked up? You know, they always blame the system.
That's a great question.
You know, they always, you know, who blame, you know, when they blame the system, you know, come on. Step back. Mm-hmm. I always tell people, you know, when I speak at schools, I say, look in the mirror. Tell me who you see. Tell me what you see.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. And too many people, I don't know, they're in their own world and they don't care what's to be seen.
No, they don't. Mm-hmm. They don't know what, you know, the military has done. Like I told my daughter, you know, she's like, you know, every time when you go out, you sign an autograph with you and T.I. to, you know, different people, and they don't even ask you. And I said, you know, the blessing by me blessing them, they bless me, which means I come back to the house and bless everybody in my house. That's a man.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you going to a $250,000 college in Savannah, you know, your parents didn't have it, but since I'm here now, guess what? You going to school because that young 19-year-old got killed in Afghanistan or Baghdad. When you get that letter that says you can go to school for 100%, you know, those soldiers that's not here, they paid it forward for you. So when you get that letter that says, you know, you can go to school for free, really look at that letter when you go to school. And while you're people around you saying, "I got to pay $5,000, you know, in 3 months," and you sitting there like, "Wow, you know, this soldier died so I can go to school. You know, I didn't understand what my stepdad was talking about, but now, you know, I see stuff now since now I got to pay for room and board. You know, I got to find my way to get to my classes now." And see, the thing is, we don't want to take our kids by the hand and walk them. You know, but if you see a female with a short skirt on, oh, you want to grab her hand, and you don't even know her. But your own daughter, you wouldn't even go to a father-daughter dance, and then you wonder why all these guys is around her, and then you getting mad at her.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
true.
So it goes from the, you know, stealing from the kids, stealing from your community, stealing from your family. All that is a cycle that can be broken if the parents want to be broken. Some think it's cute, but it's not cute.
It's not cute.
I don't see it cute at all. And then when they look at me when I speak, they look at me like, "Oh man, hold on, player. I come to school, I speak for free. I go other places." They pay me $20,000 or better to hold a seminar. 30 minutes, $20,000. I said, "How much you get paid to speak?" "Nothing. Sit back in your chair, relax, and learn something." We got to win the streets back. We got to show these young men and women of all colors, when a police officer come up to you, you know, be respectful. See, when you all that you out talking to police officers, see, you do that at home. See, that ain't cute when they see you on Facebook and all that stuff, and people looking at you like, and then you wonder, you got tased up. Now you're mad. I got slammed on the ground. Oh.
Yep.
Listen, give me your license and your registration. No problem, sir. Mm-hmm. Oh, ma'am, here you go.
You know, because I tell my son, it's so much easier. Keep your mouth closed, get to the jail, and call your mother or call a lawyer, and we'll deal with it. As opposed to you act a fool with them, and now you got beat half to death or to death or shot or whatever the case is. Just keep your mouth closed, and we will hash it out when you get down there.
Yeah, and like I said, like I tell people all the time, I said, you know, I'd rather see you in court than having six carrying you out, and your mom is got a GoFundMe account.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, you robbing from your community and your family. Why you don't have insurance on your kids, but you're getting turned up at the club every week?
Huh, right? It's not true. One of my friends on Facebook had posted it. So you'll go spend $250 for some J's, but you won't buy life insurance for your kids.
She said, when you said, that's why I like that topic when Kendrick called me, you know the exploitation of kids, it's more than sex.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than it's mental, it's physical. Because when you talk to these kids afterwards, when they get locked up, they'll tell you, I watched my mom smoke weed. I watched my dad beat my mom up. So, you know, it rubbed off on me. No, it didn't rub off on you. That's when you need to be like, you know what, look, I need to go talk to my uncle. You know, I need to talk to somebody, a pastor, a priest. Man, look, I know in the hood they say, well, if you go to police station, you know, you a rat. Well, look, I got to go to the police station. I got to talk to somebody. You know, we got to get that mentality. When you talk to the police, you know, hey, you can't come on the block no more. Man, look, that thuggish gang mentality, yo, that, nah. We got to change that. We got to change a lot of these, come off these TV shows, these movies they making. And then when Hollywood glorifies these type of movies, they don't put no money back in the hood. You know, these war movies. What war movie you know that they have to went on the base and say, look, we made $100 million on this movie. We want to donate some of this money back to your wounded warriors. We want to donate, you know, some money to the base. You know, because of, you know, what y'all do. Instead, the directors are rich, the actors are rich. They get information from us. We don't get nothing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff.
And then I guess, and then these people turn into those type of adults that prey on our kids. And it is sad. And I can see several issues and several cycles that need to be broken. If we're going to end this mentality of it's okay to prey on the kids. I don't know if you were on the phone earlier, if you were on the line earlier, I was saying, I asked my son, why do people prey on kids? And he says, well, because it's easy. It's like stealing candy from a baby. You know, we have to get out of that mindset that, well, I'll just take from you, or you have more than I do, so it's okay for me to steal from you because you have more. You'll get it again. That's the wrong answer.
It is. It's sad because, you know, you got some parents and the kids, they team up and to do you know, stupid stuff, and then, you know, they get caught. It's like, you know, what you thinking about? You know, come on. Why your son is not, you know, going to school to be a mechanic? You know, why not? You know, it's because you was messed up.